Dive into the Americas today with hosts Carl Meacham and Robert Funk for insights on U.S. Latin America relations and inter-American dynamics you won't find anywhere else.
In our third and final episode with Maria Corina Machado, we focus on a topic of deep relevance and timelessness, the Venezuelan diaspora in the United States. With over 7 million Venezuelans scattered around the world, the United States has become a crucial refuge for those fleeing the political and humanitarian crisis that has beset Venezuela since 2014. Today, we'll explore how the Vente Venezuela interacts with this diaspora, especially in states like Florida, Texas, Georgia, where the majority have settled. We'll analyze the challenges these immigrants face, from integration to naturalization, and discuss strategies to mobilize them for future Venezuelan elections. Additionally, we'll delve into the message Maria Corina wishes to send to Venezuelans in the U.S., and how the American political class can support the search for a democratic transition in Venezuela. Join us in this vital conversation with Maria Corina Machado, a bridge between Venezuela and its diaspora seeking paths towards the reconstruction of a fractured country. So, Maria Corina, with the number of Venezuelans in the U.S. having more than doubled, and since the start of the political and humanitarian crisis in Venezuela in 2014, how does Vente Venezuela interact with the Venezuelan diaspora worldwide, and specifically in the United States? Do you communicate with them? Are there any tools that you use to communicate with them? The reason that I ask this is because we see so many Venezuelans in the U.S. paying attention. And then these are Venezuelans that can vote in the United States, and they're paying attention to what the different candidates say or what policies they intend to implement. So that's sort of the context for us. So gaining a greater understanding of what you think they should be paying attention to in Venezuela is relevant for us. How do you see that?
I see them as a huge asset for our struggle right now for democracy and freedom, but also one of the great forces we will have to rebuild our country in the short future. Imagine what it would mean for you in the U.S. if one-fourth of your society had to leave your country. Imagine what it would mean for every single family to be torn apart and ask you why they leave and leave behind everything they love, their dreams, their savings, their plans for the future, their children. People leave when they don't see a future. And when they see their children condemned to a future without education, help, or love, and mothers simply decide to go and risk everything, their lives. Carl, last year, 1% of Venezuelan population crossed the Darien Gap, and it's hell. And they know hell is waiting for them. In the last 3 years, 3 million Venezuelans left. And the issue has to do with future, having the expectations for a future of dignity. And I've been standing there at the bridge that unites Venezuela and Colombia. And I've been there, you know, with my hands open, trying to stop people from crossing. And they have telling me what they feel at that moment. And my feeling is that they are desperate to come back. But the point is, what has to take place for them to come back? And it was revealing for me just around 10 days ago, there was a survey published by Bloomberg of Venezuelans living in the U.S., and 65% said they would come back home if the opposition, it would be in the presidential election. It has nothing to do with giving them money or offering them benefits. It's the perspective of profound change that would give them future. They know it would be hard to build this, but they want to be part of it. On the contrary, only 14 say they would come back if Maduro stays in power. So what I tell them is, we need you, and I want you back home. So this is a common struggle that has to be successful. And but not only I'm talking to the Venezuelan people, but I'm talking to the American people in terms of what this would mean for all of you to turn Venezuela from this catastrophe that will keep, you know, throwing Venezuelans away to a country of hope where we will receive them all back.
How do you, I mean, Carl alluded to this, but how do you speak to those people in the region, in the United States? How do you speak to governments as well? Because on the one hand, obviously you want people who leave, who are so desperate to be well-treated in the various governments that they, various countries that they go to, but you also, in a way want them to come back. What's the kind of communication you have with Venezuelans abroad, but also with governments in the region?
Well, first of all, I have to insist on what Carl said before. I'm seeing the Venezuelan diaspora more and more organized and active than ever. It's super ridiculous. Not only they're helping each other with solidarity and taking care of migrants and families that are separated and so on, but also in being our voice. Because since we're so censored here, being our voice towards those governments. And certainly what I'm saying to those governments is, look, I mean, these, most of them are good, hardworking people that have no option but to go away. So we expect them to be treated with respect and dignity. But at the same time, I want these countries to understand that if Maduro throws away all possibility of a democratic transition, and as he says, por las malas, no, on by force, he decided to stay in power, what this would mean in the short term. Because if that takes place, prepare for the worst migration wave we've seen so far. Because people are staying because we are seeing the true possibility of a change in our lives, because we all know that there won't be an economical improvement if there is no political change. People are clear with that nowadays. I mean, this is something that it's absolutely accepted by everyone now. So all those countries, neighboring countries, and even Central American countries, Mexico and the U.S., imagine what it would mean in terms of migration pressure if we don't achieve this. So it is in our interest, as it is as well in the interest of other countries in the region, because of the pressure of migration, because of the destabilization networks the regime has put in place, because of the criminal networks with like the Tren de Aragua and others that we are seeing, transnational organized crime networks that are financed and promoted from Venezuela. And finally, you know, the geopolitical issue of Russia and Iran finding a door to Latin America through the safe haven Maduro has offered to them in Venezuela.
I could just follow up, Carl. So yeah. Particularly with Venezuelans living in the United States, you've mentioned that you know, different expat communities are mobilizing and organizing. Are there specific ways, because we have this platform here, are there specific ways that they can mobilize and organize from the United States, and specifically to help you or to just help the democratic movement?
Yeah, and let me follow up on that. And why should they support you, Maria Corina? These are the questions like that you would ask a candidate here, right? Why should I support Maria Corina? I mean, just straight up.
Look, in the first hand, because I am able to defeat Maduro, and they know that. right? You know, we've never been in this position before in 25 years. Nowadays, we are in an 80 to 20% relationship, 80% support to our option. And this had never happened before. So nowadays, everybody knows in Venezuela and abroad that in a competitive election, we will have a landslide victory. But that is not enough, because that's the reason why the regime doesn't want to have an election. They want to get rid of me. And that's why they invented this absurd ban, which it's not against me. It's against the people that voted in the primaries and they have the right to choose who their candidate is and not have Maduro handpick someone that he can defeat, which is what is behind this idea of banning our candidacy. So first of all, I would tell them, every Venezuelan abroad and especially in the U.S., we can defeat Maduro and we can make a totally transformation of Venezuela in a very short term. We can have all of you that want to come back, you know, give huge opportunities of, you know, having your families together, giving your children a future of respect and entrepreneur for all of those that have ideas and that want to develop them in Venezuela. And the other hand is for the U.S. Society, you will have a true partner that will promote order and security, national and hemispheric security in the region, because we will get rid of all those foreign actors that want to undermine democratic institutions in the whole region, especially in the U.S.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that's one of the key issues, the U.S. And I just want to get your view a little bit of what would you say to the U.S. political class? And we're in a very sort of polarized moment in the United States, but, you know, always focused on and also having sort of as a as evidence of what works best for policy from the U.S. is that bipartisan policy. So what would you say to the U.S. political class about how they can help Venezuela reach this democratic transition in a bipartisan manner?
That's a super important point, Carl, because even though, as you say, you're in a polarized situation and a unique electoral process, Venezuela's conflict has remained a bipartisan issue. We just saw a few days ago, I was at the House and there was a round table and there were members of both parties and all were aligned in terms of we have to move along this transition to democracy, respect for the Barbados Agreement and respect and support to our candidacy. And it's something I appreciate very, very much and I understand how important it is at this point. And the reason why, it's because it has to do with national security issues. And I think there's been a responsible attitude towards the Venezuelan conflict. We all realize we have committed mistakes in the past. We have underestimated the nature of the regime in terms of how they lie and how they violate human rights. We've seen how the investigation at the criminal court, the National Criminal Court, is moving ahead, just announced last week, because there are crimes against humanity that have been committed by members of the regime. And certainly, as we said before, the migration issue is a critical one. And I think on both sides of the aisle understand that the only way we can solve this issue is through a transition to democracy. That never before we had an opportunity that, like the one we have right now, and that we have to maintain, you know, a firm position in terms of what the commitments of the U.S. has been towards the Venezuelan people. And they've said it repeatedly, that they will support, as the Barbados Agreement says, the process chosen by the Venezuelan opposition and the Venezuelan people to select their candidate. And it was done last year on October 22nd. It was massive. And now, you know, strength is growing and more we need to know, the Venezuelan people, that we're not alone. Not only that we have the U.S. government and Congress with us, but we have American people supporting us as well, because it has to do with values such as human rights and freedom. But at the same time, there's a pragmatic side of it, which has to do with having a reliable source of energy and security and stability in the region. And that's what we represent. And there's a true possibility of obtaining this year. On the other hand, if that is not the case, the scenario could be devastating for us, Venezuela, and certainly a threat as well for the region, a growing and growing and growing threat for the region.
Well, Maria Corina, it's been a luxury to have this time with you. We have covered so much ground. We have covered economics. We've covered mining. We've covered your personal history, your challenges, the political challenges. There's still so much left to talk about it. I can think of so many more issues, the relations with Colombia, with Brazil, the role of Europe, the role of Cuba. There's so much more to talk about. Hopefully we will have that opportunity to keep talking. Hopefully the next time we talk, maybe we'll be talking to the president of Venezuela. Or maybe we'll talk before that. That would be nice too. But we're really, really grateful for joining us, Carl and me and Global Americans. And we look forward to continuing the conversation. Thank you so much.
But I would just say one more thing, Maria Corina, before you close up, because I think that Robert has really sort of led us to what we would do in a presidential debate, right? I want to give you an opportunity to close out with a message to the Venezuelan diaspora in the United States.
Well, first of all and foremost, I want to thank Global Americans. And it was a great opportunity to see you back, Carl, after so many years. Mm-hmm. And Robert as well. And you have no idea what this means to us, no, to reach out to our people and to let them know how valuable they are at this moment. There are a lot of people that say, I want to be of help. I want to be part of history, because we are writing history at this moment. And I want to say, first of all, you have to trust ourselves. Trust the strength we've been building. A lot of people want to dismiss that, and they make scenarios with all these many variables, and people are totally out of it. But we've managed to come so far because we have trusted, and we're building more and more citizens' power. And that has to be done abroad as well, as a community. And we are seeing, and this is super important for me as well, people from other Latin American countries, communities in the U.S. that are joining us, because they understand that having success in this transition to democracy in Venezuela will have a huge impact on these other countries as well, and their lives as well in the U.S. So time has come, and never before in Venezuela, the future of so many generations and decades of life in Venezuela will depend on what we do in the days to come. This is a huge responsibility, but also I thank the Lord and God for having us, giving us the chance to be useful in this purpose. And we will prevail, have no doubt. We will bring our children back home, and they will be proud of the country they have. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thanks for all the time that you've given us, and stay strong, and a big hug to you and to your staff. We are grateful for giving us this time with you. So thank you so much as we close, and go forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Take good care, my friends.
We'll see you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Americas Today. In our next episode, we'll be joined by Uruguayan economist Gabriel Odone to discuss Uruguay's place in the regional economy. For now, we're signing off and wishing you a great day.